important that we understand this. So what I would like to do is we're going to, in the coming weeks, we are going to be looking at this topic. But I will say, although I might share some extra things, my purpose is to go through 1 Corinthians. So we're not going to go into a large study on church discipline. What we are going to do is look at what 1 Corinthians says about it. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't pull anything into it and to look at other places or to read some other things that other people have said about it. But we are going to mostly stay with what's given in 1 Corinthians. But we'll be doing well by staying in 1 Corinthians because there's a lot here. Okay, so let's jump right into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're just going to start going through this and breaking it apart and seeing what's important. I hope that will be a help to you. And by the way, if you have questions afterwards or you know through the week, please feel free to ask me. I might tell you. Let me check that out. Let me study that a little bit more. But I want you to ask because church discipline is something that people have a lot of questions about and why and how and what. And I do believe that Paul is going to delineate a bunch of things here, and I think we're going to understand it better. Anyways, please ask questions if you have them. Aside from the church service, of course, and I'll try to get you some of those answers. All right. Let's go ahead and look at verses. Let's go ahead and start with verses 1 to 3. And honestly, I think really tonight we're probably only get through the first two verses, but let's read through the first three verses. Paul is writing to this church. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily I say, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. First of all, in these first three verses, we're looking at the condition. What is here? What is the condition that brings up this discipline that is going to be given here? I think in verse 1, we definitely see the problem very clearly stated, that is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now, we're going to talk about the fornication here in just a moment, but I find it very interesting and helpful to understand the phrase that is before that. Notice what is said here, and I want to tell you, the fornication is not good, what we're going to look at. But I would suggest to you the phrase that is reported commonly is just as bad or sad, if not worse. And I'll tell you why. Because the fornication corrupts an individual. The reported commonly is an entire body. What does he mean when he says that it is reported commonly? This word commonly, we look at common, okay? It seems like it's a common practice here, and that is the truth. But the word commonly is the word actually. This is actually, and if I could say factually, the case. This is the truth. This wasn't just hearsay. Have you ever been reported something that wasn't necessarily true? You hear a report of something, right? And you don't know whether to believe it. By the way, folks, it's very important what you report. Because a lot of rumors get started. A lot of negative things get, you know, you say something. What's God's method of when somebody does something wrong, what ought we to do first? We ought to go talk to that individual, right? I want to tell you, it's destructive in a church when you hear something, whether you know it's the truth or not, and you start making a big deal of it, that can destroy a church faster than anything. Be careful. In fact, we are going to look in a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the charity chapter, but I can tell you one thing, that is not love and it's not charity. going and talking about other people, especially when you don't know. Even if you know it's not right, but especially when you don't know, to go somebody and to report something that is not known for sure. What a detriment. Would you like somebody telling somebody else about you something that is not even true? Ah, boy, it's a horrible thing. It's a devastating thing. It's a degrading thing when you hear from somebody else that somebody said anything to you and they say, "Is that true?" No, that is not true. But to know that there are other people out there now where this is circulating and there's a report out there about somebody that's not true. What a detriment that is to a ministry. What a detriment that is to the unity of a church. Folks, I want to tell you something. It's important that we be careful what we're reporting. Now, in this case, it was reported commonly, okay? That means it was reported actually and factually. It was reported, if I could say this, it was, and it's kind of put another light on it, it was common knowledge. Now, let me ask you a question, and it's not a hard question. Should it be common knowledge that there's sin in the church? Now, say, "Pastor, we're all sinners." Right, we are all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner on our way to hell, except for the grace of God, which He shed His blood on the cross and gave us new life that we celebrated this morning. Yes, we all are sinners, but justified and brought into holiness through Jesus Christ. But that's not what He's talking about here. We know that there's sin. What He's talking about, it is a known fact of specific blatant sin that's in the church. Do you think that that's a good testimony of the church? What do you think? Can you imagine a church being known for that? There's a church over there on the other side of the railroad tracks. Yeah, we know that church is a church filled with fornication. Can you imagine the testimony that's there? We're going to talk about testimony here in just a little bit. But what a sad little bit here that it was reported commonly. It was common knowledge. What a bad situation that sin is being common knowledge in a church. You know, I imagine that in the very beginning, it was an eye-opening, experience. When it was first found out, and again, by the way, we're going to talk about the fornication and the type of fornication that it was here in just a little bit. You all know already this is something, a big deal. But in the very beginning, maybe it was something that people were shocked at and surprised at, and the reaction, by the people was, what is going on? And by the way, that ought to be the reaction. It ought to bother us that there's sin in our church, folks. It shouldn't be something that we're okay with. It's something that we just look at and say, "Yeah, well, we're all sinners. It's okay. They've got their problems." It grieves the Holy Spirit. It ought to grieve us. It ought to bother us when we see a brother that's tangled into something, that he's being discouraged in sin and he's being tempted. And it ought to bother all of us. We ought to be concerned about other people. As we have sin in our church, it ought to grieve us and we ought to be troubled about it. It certainly ought not to be commonplace where we look at it. And again, in the beginning, it probably was something that they were bothered at. But these folks, because of their pride, had come to the place where they're very complacent about the sin. And it was kind of like just accepted. We're just going to turn our heads and it's, I guess it's okay. I don't even understand how they got to that point. Can you imagine that we would ever get to that place in our church where it was just accepted that that's the way it is? What a horrible thing. And that's the way it was. It was a common report about this church in Corinth that this wickedness had taken place. Now remember, Corinth was a very wicked place. There was a lot of wickedness and immorality there. And that wickedness had infiltrated the church so much that the church now was very blind to it. It's not a big deal. I don't understand today. The world is very blind to sin. Have you noticed that? You see vulgar things out there in life. And you see such horrible things. And it's almost like the people that are living in it don't hardly bat an eye at it. Have you noticed that? I see something, with my own eyes, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And I'm wondering, how is that even accepted? And there are people, right? And it is so common. One of the things that has made sin common is the entertainment and media that are out there today. It is absolutely normal for people to be intaking all kinds of garbage on a normal basis. In fact, have you not found it true that you almost have to try very, very difficult for it to be away? I mean, you have to guard every single thing you do. Everything. And folks, I want to tell you something. If we don't want to end up here, we're going to have to make sin cannot be common around us. As soon as we let sin be common around us, it is going to be a common report about us. We've got to be so careful, because what happens is we become very cold to it. We become numb to it. And it's so clear that out there in the world that it is a common, if I can put it in this phrase, it's common report. Sin is everywhere and people are absolutely okay with it. The things that you get in the mail, you know, that we call pornography, by the way, It doesn't have to qualify as pornography if it's some, you know, if it's some girly magazine that comes that you don't have to subscribe to. I want to tell you something. The normal stuff that comes through our postal service, guys, you better be careful and you better not look at it. It's a practice in our home. The guys, you know, we don't get that stuff. We don't look at it because it's too dangerous. It ought to be something that is abnormal, and to say, boy, as soon as you identify it, get that out of here because that's poison. But you see, in the world, it's becoming very commonplace. It's very normal. But I would say that it is getting to be very normal within Christian circles to have that stuff around us. And now we look at it, and it's got to be so, if I could say, so horrible. Then we turn, finally. You know, the things that used to appall Christians back in the day now are very normal to us. Very common. Very normal. Now, somehow, this church had let the wickedness of Corinth and the world come in. They were sin. Maybe in the beginning they were shocked at it. But it was to the point now to where it was just known fact. The church at Corinth has fornication. What a horrible thing. Got to be so careful. One of the reasons why we actually have church discipline, and I'm going to jump ahead, is so that, honestly, folks, we ought to be scared to be comfortable with sin. Did you hear that? We ought to be scared to be comfortable with sin. And if we can put some things in place under God's direction in His Word to keep us, to scare us from sin, then so be it. You know, that's one of the things about accountability. You know, a lot of us naturally do not like accountability. A lot of us don't like, you know, you don't like somebody asking you about your, you know, so how are you doing with your devotions? I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Back when I was in college, I had a friend. I've told you this before. I had a friend that would come to me, and he would, just out of the blue sometimes, he would say, hey, Sean, what'd you get in your devotions this morning? And you know what? A lot of times I could tell him. But every once in a while when I hadn't had my devotions, I hated it. Why did he pick that day? You know? Why did he pick today? You know, and he would say, hey, Sean, what'd you get in your devotions? And I had to look down and I had to say, you know what? I better go back to my dorm and have my devotions. And he wasn't trying to pick on me. He wasn't trying to hurt me. I'll tell you what, there was a brother that cared about me. He wanted to give me that motivation. And I'll tell you, the next day, if I was struggling with time and thinking, you know what, I remembered my friend Kevin. He's probably going to ask me today. And I'm not saying and suggesting that that's the greatest motivation to have your devotions. But I am saying this. If accountability is going to help keep me open and honest, then I think it would be a good thing. We need to be accountable with each other. We need to be thankful for the accountability. Can I say this as we start our study on from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 on church discipline? Church discipline, restoration, whatever you want to call it, is a God-given form of accountability to keep us from going off and getting comfortable with sin. Honestly, we look at church discipline and we think, oh, brother, boy, I hate church discipline. Why does the church have to do that? Can't we just be loving about it? Listen, it's kind of like the child in a home that thinks, boy, you know, my parents are disciplining me. They must hate me. And in the end, when they get older, what's the report? My parents must have loved me because they cared enough to say no. They cared enough to discipline me. They cared enough to funnel me in so that I would turn out, so that I would hit the mark of where I'm supposed to go. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Funnel that child in the way. Put parameters around that child so that they'll end up there. God has done the same thing with his people, and one of the things he uses is church discipline to help funnel people. I want to tell you, I would never want to be a person that would have to go through church discipline and have to face what God has given in his word to go through that. How humiliating would it be? And brother, I want to tell you something. If that's what's going to keep me clean, then praise the Lord for it. And God has given that to us. That's why the church is in such just as a parent that decides not to discipline their children anymore, and how that's dangerous to the children, it would be just as dangerous for the church not to have church discipline, because people then get very comfortable with nothing. Nothing. It's okay. It must be okay. Let's let each man to himself. And by the way, that's where churches are going these days. It's very, you know, listen, that's not my business. You know, take care of him. God, let God take care of him. I'll tell you something. That's not love. Just as a child is raised in a home that doesn't do discipline, you think that we're loving our kids, but I'll tell you what, it's hating our kids. It's hating our children. We're not going to discipline them. When we love them, we're going to correct them. And that's what God's word says. And so we've got to care about these things. We've got to care about our brothers and sisters. Okay, so you find out that it's reported commonly. We know of things that are going on. This phrase tells us that it not only was just accepted, but it didn't even bother them. How do we get that? Well, you look at the passage below, and you see that they look at verse 2, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned. You see what it's saying there? When a Christian sins, when we see a brother or sister that is not doing right, honestly, the rightful response, it should bother us. We ought not be bothered towards them. We ought to be bothered about them. It ought to hurt us as a body part. You know what? When I have certain body parts that ache, it seems like the rest of my body struggles as well. You know what? That's the way God made the body. You know, my bicep is not laughing when my triceps is hurting. You know, it's like, oh, great. Now we've got a problem here. There's an issue and my body's aching. You know what? When somebody in our church is struggling, maybe they're not here, maybe they're dropped out, maybe they're discouraged, maybe they're involved in some things and they're starting to go back into the world, it ought to grieve us. It ought to mourn us. Why aren't you mourning, Paul says? Not upset at them. There's a difference. He doesn't say to get upset at them. He doesn't say, why aren't you pointing your finger at them? He says, why aren't you hurting for them? Honestly, I believe that we don't get hurt enough in our church when other people are in sin. A lot of times, this is what we're doing. We're like, what are they doing? A lot of times, we end up pushing them off. You remember David and his son Absalom? That sad story here. And one of the biggest things, because David was a man after God's own heart, but I'll tell you, one of the things that hurt his son Absalom is when David saw the sin and he did one of these. When he put his forearm and his fist, you know, to that son, and he said, no, I can't deal with you. You're making a mess of my kingdom. You're a bad name. You're a bad testimony to me. When he did that, it didn't pull Absalom closer. My friends, I want to tell you something. It doesn't pull your brothers and sisters closer when you start avoiding them because they're getting involved in some of this stuff. I'm just going to let God take care of that. That is not God's way. That is not God's way. God wants us to come alongside that brother and put our arms around that brother or sister and love them back, try to help them and confront them and encourage them to come back. By the way, that is the entire idea of church discipline. We warn them about the severity of the sin, all along trying to pull them right back in. We're not trying to punish somebody. We're trying to give them an element of accountability, a loving element of accountability to pull them back and so that they can come right back. Praise the Lord for a brother or sister that is one because of this situation here that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in love. Really quickly turn there. I just want you to see this as we introduce this topic of church discipline. Honestly, we know that the scriptures teach that we need to love each other. That is so important. Remember, in fact, what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? If there's not love, then what is there? Nothing, right? He says, you know, remember the first three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And he goes through a list of things there. He says, you could be a superhero Christian in this area, this area, this area. You can give your body for this. You can do that. You can do all this ministry. But if there is no love, then you have nothing. Now, we're not talking about that whole context, but I want to tell you something. We cannot go forward as a church if there's not love. And love hits this element of church discipline right here. We ought to be grieved with sin. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6, and he's defining what love is or charity is. And so each one of these phrases in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we can preface with charity does this. And here we see that charity, in verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. When a brother or sister gets involved in sin, it ought to, and I think that we can easily see the opposite. When they do right, what does the scripture say? What is love? When they do right, we rejoice. But when they do wrong, the positive is given here, rejoice not. In other words, we ought to mourn over it. We ought to be grieved over it. It ought to bother us when our brother and sister, how dare we let them go and just say, well, they're making bad choices. Love is not going to ignore the blind spots in our fellow believers' lives. If there's a blind spot, we lovingly need to talk to them. So the question for us before we move on, what is our reaction when we learn about sin amongst our brothers and sisters? What are you doing? And I ask you that question, what are you doing when you hear about sin with your brothers? We ought not tolerate sin, first of all. Now, we continue on with this thought in verse 2. We'll come back up. We haven't even got to this immorality yet. But I just want you to see the problem ignored as we look at verse 2. You know, they knew about it, but it says, and ye are puffed up. What was the issue? Why were these people ignoring it? And it was the same element from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. It's the same element that continues to come up. These people were very proud. They were very proud. Do you know the reason why we don't deal with situations sometimes is because we're too proud. And all kinds of different ways in which we're proud. Sometimes we're so proud that we don't want to say something because we just don't want to offend. We don't want people to think that we're better than they are. We don't want all this. And it's honestly our self-image that we're so caring about. We don't want to look at this. Look, I don't want to look like this. I don't want to look like that. Listen, if I don't say something to my brother, then they're going to be lost. We've got to stop caring about our own selves and protecting our own image and protecting our own self. And what are they going to think? And to go out and to take a step of faith and say, listen, I don't care what they think. Have you ever not said something because you're scared to death that they're going to think bad of you? I'll tell you what, I have. I know something. I have to talk to them, but I get scared. I don't know if I should say something. I don't want them to think that I'm a better than thou. I don't want them to think that I'm trying to judge them. I don't want to think that, you know, and the result is that we don't say anything. And guess what the answer is? God says it right here. He says, you're puffed up. You see, we tend to think that confronting somebody or talking to somebody is pride. Now, can you do that in pride? What's the answer? Absolutely. And does God warn us from doing that? He said, you better take care of what's in right in here before you go and talk to somebody. And I say that. Remember, we have to take all of Scripture with all of Scripture. We cannot ignore any Scripture and toss that out in order to do something else. We've got to take it all together. So by no means is this passage saying, listen, you go to somebody else and just, you know, give them one of these and tell them how they're doing wrong. That is not what Paul is saying. Listen, we better take care of what's in our own eye. We better take care of what's in our own lives. But we do it in love. See, a lot of times we err on the other side. Yes, sometimes we go and we'll say it the wrong way and we'll do it wrongly. And some of us do that sometimes. But the result sometimes is we go to the other end of the pendulum and we just decide we're not going to say anything. Because we're not going to judge. Because we're not going to, you know, because we have things in our own lives. And what happens is we let our brothers and sisters go. How devastating. If we love, it's just like a parent. If you love your children, you will what? You will discipline them. If you love your children, you're going to take care of them. The same thing is true with people in our church. If we love our brothers and sisters, then we are going to say something. We need to say something. It doesn't mean that we lord over them. It doesn't mean we need to point their finger and tell them how bad they are. But we lovingly come to them and just say, listen, how can I help you, brother? I'm concerned and I care about you. And we could spend a lot of time on the approach of how to do it in love. Because it's been done many times without love, and it doesn't work. We've got to be loving people, okay? So, and maybe we'll get into that. But we've got to care. Love does not ignore. Love is going to help. And so we see they were puffed up. They were proud. Maybe their status, and who knows? Maybe they just didn't want other people. I mean, it was commonly reported, so I don't understand exactly what they were going through. But they, instead of having the attitude of pride, they should have been hurt for their brothers. Let's look at the specific sin, okay? So back to chapter 5 and verse 1. Okay, so it is reported commonly. And we just spent a lot of time talking about that and then the mourning and the being puffed up. But let's go back and let's see exactly what it was so that you understand. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. All right, fornication. Interesting word that is used here. Pornea, that is a word that is, understand this, a lot of people have put some definitions to words, but there's some different scopes of this word, but it's a very general word. A very general word for immoral activity, but be careful to limit it to certain things because I believe even the Bible would put things like pornography and things like that, even the mind and the eyes in this word here. I think sometimes we tend to categorize certain sins as some not so bad and some really bad, and especially in the area of immorality, and we tend to think that it's okay if we do this, as long as, you've heard some people say this, I want to be very careful how I say it, you know, we did this, this, and this, but we didn't go all the way. You understand what I'm saying with that? My friend, I want to tell you something, going all the way starts right in here. According to God's word, when we've committed in our heart, we've committed it. We've got to be so careful that we don't categorize sin so much that we get very permissive on what we allow. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. When we've got a bad mind right in here, we are wrong. We've got to be so careful. And this word, again, we've got to be careful, but this word, don't limit it so much to some all the way, if I could put it that way. Because it starts with some of these other ways. This word is something, it's defined like this. It's illicit sexual activity. Now here, it was very specific. You read at the end of verse 1, and it says that one should have his father's wife. All right, here. Let's go to, we're just about out of time, but let's go to Leviticus chapter 18 for just a moment. And let's look and see the grounds. I know that this entire passage is really not about fornication. It's about church discipline. But I still want you to see this. And then there are going to be many other sins listed in chapter 5 and verse 11 that kind of give us an idea of what types of sins qualify for church discipline, because it's not all sin. Honestly, can you imagine if all sin was church discipline? We'd all be church disciplined, all right? Because we're all sinners. That is not the point. It's the sin that mars the testimony of the church. And so that's a very simple way to say it. Probably go beyond that. But let's look at this specific sin that is listed here just to get an idea of something that would be a qualification for church discipline. Now, the parameters have been put in Leviticus. Notice in chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, this is very specific to the sin that's listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And that uncovering her nakedness is another way of talking about physical relationships with them. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Then in verse 29, jump down to verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, notice it was called an abomination before the Lord, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. And then you don't need to turn there in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 30. A man shall not take his father's wife nor discover his father's skirt. All right. Now, very specifically, was this the only relationship that God spoke about that was not right? No. In fact, God hit on all kinds of possibilities. And I would say this, isn't it sad that in our world today, we've gone beyond even some of the things that God has put in His Word. You know, some of these things back then were just like, that is horrendous. You know, to think about a relationship with your father's wife. And it seems like in 2022, we're beyond, way, way beyond. But even then, He puts all kinds of things about, you know, physical relationships with all kinds of situations. And here He hits on this one, though, very specifically. And so we see that it was wrong. There's a couple things that one of the commentators mentions about this sin. Obviously, well, just let me read this. Three things about this particular relationship seem evident, this guy says. First, the present tense has, okay, that this person has indicates that the sinful activity had been going on. This probably wasn't just a one-time deal. This was something that he had going on. It was going on for a certain amount of time and probably still going on. And so it was continuous, it was open. And they may, who knows, we don't know, living together, we certainly know that there was a relationship going on there. The second thing, probably not an adulterous situation because it doesn't say adultery, but you know, a son and a stepmother, probably some have suggested that it was, and possibly there had been a divorce with the father. Otherwise, maybe adultery would have been dealt with there, but there was just this emotional, or excuse me, physical relationship. And so it doesn't seem like they were legally married anyway, thirdly, which would have been wrong. But thirdly, because Paul calls for no discipline of the woman that is there, perhaps this lady was not a believer either. And now, these are just some thoughts and some possibilities. He doesn't give all the details here. But this is the situation of this individual that was a Christian. Notice that it was the sin that was named among them. I believe this was talking, this is among you, this is in the church, this is supposedly a Christian. You know, whether or not, we can't judge whether this individual is a saved person or not. But it seemed like it was among them. I would say that it seems to point to the fact that this was a person, a Christian saved in the church, that was living in this immoral sort of a lifestyle with, again, possibly his father's wife that he had taken. Had his mother died? I don't know what happened. Were they divorced? Again, I don't know. But the relationship there, which God very clearly, back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, condemned. No, that is not supposed to be. This is wrong. And so, again, Paul goes on and he says it's among you in the church, probably a believer. But notice what he says. Go back in verse 2. He says, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. I meant to read verse 1. Go back up to verse 1. Notice what he says. He says, such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Now that blows my mind a little bit here. Not so much as named. See, even in the unsaved pagan Corinthian world, this practice wasn't even accepted. Now, the point of this is, you know, because there's a lot that accepted out there, but as we look at this, I mean, even the unsaved Gentiles knew not to do this, and of course, according to the Jewish law that we just looked at. But what another problem of this Corinthian church? I mean, the immoral testimony to the world. Consider that. Consider just for a moment. I alluded to it before. Consider Right now, we're really talking about the well-being of the church. But just for a moment, think about what the world is looking upon when they see Christians acting in this way. Isn't it amazing that they can do all those things? And when they see it happen in the church, they know this is bad. Now, in this case, these people, it was bad in their culture. You don't do that. You don't do that. And there's some historical accounts of other people, non-biblical accounts of people that spoke against it. You don't do that. You don't practice incest. You don't partake in that. That is a bad and wicked thing. I mean, even in our day that we live in, it's wrong, right? I mean, it doesn't take too much of the world to, that's not what you're supposed to do, okay? It goes against the law. You're not supposed to be involved that way. The world knows that. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. This, when we don't keep short account of our sin, when we don't watch and be careful about what's going on, when the church gets sloppy with what we allow the church to be involved in, when we get to where it's common, it's reported commonly in our church, I want to tell you, it is going to be a detriment to our world, and there's no way that we can take a track and knock on the door on Saturday when it's common in our church. You understand that? Got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Remember our theme verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. What does it say? We've got to be careful because our lifestyle, our conversation ought to become the gospel of Christ. Listen to this. If Jesus Christ had to go to the cross to save us from it, then we ought not participate in it at all. Period. It ought to be away from us. It ought to be gone. We've got to be careful with this. All right. We see a last thing that is very deadly, but I think that we're gonna save that for next week. We're just going to continue to go slowly through this. I want us to understand. I think we got a good start here at just seeing some of the implications of what's taking place here, and it's going to start to funnel us to this area of why. What are we going to do so that we can prevent this? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us a good picture on what we ought to do. If we can wrap up and summarize here in the last moment what we've learned today, we've got to be very careful not to be comfortable with sin, folks. Let's not be comfortable with sin. And we don't want to get to this place to where it's common in our lives, to where it's factual. This is what's happening. The best way to do that is we need to keep a short account of sin. We need to walk with Jesus on an everyday basis. And be careful. I tell the guys all the time, zero tolerance, guys. Guys, listen up, zero tolerance. Ladies, by the way, zero tolerance. It's not above ladies. Men, ladies, and it's not just in the area of immorality, because there's all kinds of sins that could be involved with church discipline, but I want to say this. We've got to be very careful. We don't want to allow any little bit of sin is wrong. There's not a certain amount of sin that's okay, and we've got to watch just so we don't like fall off the edge of the cliff. We've got to keep a short account of that sin. We've got to make sure that sin looks big to us. We've got to stay far away from it. And as soon as sin enters in, we've got to get rid of it. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, but we need to run like Joseph and flee youthful lust. We've got to get out of there. Be careful of our sin. We need to be careful of how we're reporting to other people and what's going on in our lives. We don't want to cause problems. We ought to be hurting when other people are involved in sin. We ought to mourn over them. It ought to hurt us. And we've got to, instead loving them, we've got to come and then we'll learn the process of what we go through. We've got to love our brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you, let's be careful. But let's also, as we just start this, let's learn to be thankful for something that God put into His Word that's not such a bad thing, to help us, to be accountable with us so that we can stay pure and right before Him. And brothers and sisters, I want to say this. We have got to be a church that is determined that when there is flagrant sin that is going to mar the cause of Christ in our church, that we will follow what God's Word says and go through with church discipline. And we are mindful at Faith Bible Church to do that, to go through with it, not so that we punish, but because we love and we want restoration. We want you to come back. We want you to walk with Jesus. That's the kind of love that 1 Corinthians really is all about. We need to care about each other. We need to be close. We need to be unified, close enough that we're willing to risk our lives in humility and to talk to another brother or sister to bring them back. Lord, would you help us as we continue to go through this? It's going to take a little bit of time, but God, help us to discover truth from your word so that we can be a loving congregation to each other that cares enough to say something and to do something, not to sweep it under the carpet, not to ignore it, not to be so proud to not want to hurt anything and keep going. Lord, help us to be a church that is going to address right and wrong and love each other that way. God, thank you for your good word. Thank you for your ways that we can practice. Thank you for accountability. Lord, thank you for all these things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.